CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Georgiana Shea, the chief technologist for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to help me understand defending from cyber attacks. Much in the news, the President of the United States, in consultation with his staff, addressed that matter with Vladimir Putin, because Russia is often associated with hacking attacks that penetrate the U.S. government, but all manner of organizations, from governments to private enterprise to colleges, are under attack routinely. Georgiana and her colleagues are presenting one way to defend a system that is old-fashioned but new again. It's called Decoy. Georgiana, a very good evening to you. Your publication informs me that there are more skills in the world that can be called upon from the old days, and one of them is the decoy for a cyber a system that is vulnerable. First of all, what is it that overwhelms defenders now so that with all the alerts they receive, they can't respond to these alerts, and therefore the hackers are getting in? What happens to them? What do we know about cyber systems that are a weakness? Good evening to you.
First, thank you, John, for having me. I really appreciate your time. So I don't really think a lot of people understand the volume of data that the network defender really has to look at. They look at all the network traffic, all the endpoint alerts, all of the information that's flowing through, and this can generate thousands and thousands of lines a day or an hour. It depends on the size of the organization. So they have to go through usually 24/7 every day, Monday through Friday, and then working on weekend and going through these alerts to see what's going on. Again, there's a spectrum of how people apply this and how big their organization is, how small it is, but it's very difficult to go through and find what the actual bad guy traffic might be. You'll hear people talk about, finding a needle in a haystack. It's really more finding a needle in a pile of needles, a specific needle, because all of the traffic is usually changing. You have to understand what normal looks like, what not normal looks like. There's regular activity that takes place on the network that is going to go through and trigger some alerts, and those are going to be called false positives. So on those false positives, you have your network defenders going through, looking at all of this information, again, 24/7, and then saying, this is normal activity, right? I think this might be normal activity, or maybe it's not normal activity. Let's look into it. And while they're doing this, other alerts are coming in. Other traffic is occurring. So it's just a never-ending process. Right. And you usually don't have a lot of network defenders sitting there. It's not a pool of network defenders, 20 people looking at it. It might be one person. It might be two people. Again, it depends on the size of your organization. So it becomes very difficult to go through and really hone in on what's important sometimes.
You report that it takes an average of 150 days to detect an adversary, and that is one adversary. There could be multiple adversaries depending upon your organization. However, you conduct an experiment. And now we come to the word decoy. Famously, decoys were used in warfare, especially the memory is of the Second War, when the Allies created a decoy army of inflatable tanks, inflatable planes. Decoys are very important to the Russian army, always have been. There's a special Russian word for it. But it had not occurred to me until I read your presentation that decoys would work in cyber defense. What is a decoy? Is it the same as a honey account? Is it the same as a canary account? And how do they work?
Well, so I will just mention not just World War II, but deception's been used for thousands of years, and I'll point back to Sun Tzu and the Art of War. So really implementing a military mindset strategy and defenses is pretty important if you want to go through it and survive. You just can't throw tools at the system and add your network defense and think that, okay, it's going to work because we have tools. You have to apply strategy. So the decoy, the honey accounts, the canary accounts, those are deceptive techniques that allow for you to go through and identify that someone has penetrated your perimeter. Someone's in your system. As I just mentioned, all of the alerts that come up, they have to go through and prioritize what are they going to look at. So they're going to more than likely key in on, high priority things like it looks like this is a compromise. Someone broke in. There's other activity that they're also seeing, like somebody's scanning our system or probing our system or trying to get into our system. But because it's not a identified breach, it's not the priority. They're just doing reconnaissance, and everyone's always doing reconnaissance. So when you miss someone coming into the network, a decoy allows you to then say, oh, I see this account should not be used, but it is being used. We have an immediate problem. There's, you mentioned a couple of different types. So the honey account is a very enticing type of an account. So maybe it's, it looks like a system administrator account. Maybe it looks like a prominent person in your organization's account. It's an account that the hacker would see and then have some type of attraction to it because of some characteristic. A canary account would just be another account. So there could be 20 accounts, maybe 10 of them are fake, maybe 10 of them are real. You don't know. There's no real difference. There's no real enticing characters. And they're both pretty much decoys.
The decoy, however, is going to be contacted. And does that set the alarm off when you – first of all, I want to make sure I understand this. The decoy account is – in the system, it looks the same to the attackers as every other account in the system. Every other person in the system or every other apparatus in the system looks exactly the same. You know, if they're contacting it, they're not familiar with your system or have no authority to contact that account. How do they contact a decoy? Let's take a honey account. What does the attack look like that you would immediately recognize as hostile?
Well, so the way the adversary gets into the network varies. It could be through, you know, phishing is very common. Maybe they have a password to an account. Maybe there's a supply chain issue like the SolarWinds. There's a backdoor someplace. There's 100,000 different ways they can get into the system. And then the issue is you don't know that they're there. So once they start traversing the network to go through and, you know, exfiltrate your data or look around, the way they stay under the radar so that they're not identified in the sensors that, you know, then generate alarms is they use valid accounts. They find a valid account. So they look like normal traffic and they just blend in with everyone else. So, you know, picture it like an actual building with people, and they now just look like an employee walking around like a regular employee.
Right.
So, the account itself now, if the hacker thinks it's fake, they will go through it and use it and think, oh, they can't see what I'm doing. I'm blending. So it's pretty, you know, pretty comfortable for him or her. But then, from the network defender's standpoint, they know that's a fake account. So when they see any activity on the account, they know, oh, we have a real situation that isn't just the normal account doing what it is it's supposed to be doing. That is a breach to our system, and we have to immediately take action.
You experimented with a nonprofit, an organization you don't name. Were they satisfied that you'd provided what I'd have to say was an economical defense system?
Yes, they were very happy. They were very happy with the use of deception. They were very happy with the cost of it. They were very happy with being able to implement a solution so that if the tools did fail, you would still be able to identify that you've been breached and you could take action. Most organizations heavily rely on what their tools are. So, you know, depending on the kind of tool you have, depending on the kind of signatures it has and the alerts that are then set up, and then the skill level of the operator or how long they've been there or maybe how busy they were. There's a lot of factors that go into whether or not you're going to be able to identify a breach to your system. And this really provides a glass fishbowl look
right
into something. So, you know, you control that environment completely. And when you see that environment being in any way moved or disrupted, then you know you have an issue. So it's an immediate indicator.
Georgiana, this seems so logical and straightforward. Is it fresh or has it been used before to defend systems? How would SolarWinds have worked if they'd had deceptive accounts? We have about a minute.
Well, honestly, I don't know if SolarWinds has come up with exactly how the breach took place. I know it was in their supply build, but I don't know how they got into the supply build and what that looked like. But how would it have worked? There's, like I mentioned, the tools that are out there, most organizations just throw the tools onto the network, turn them on, and then put some people in front of the consoles. If there's an alert, take action. There's not a lot of strategy that's put into the defense piece of it. So, you know, just like the Art of War, just like World War II, Operation Bodyguard, you know, stepping back, applying a little bit of strategy to your network defenses really goes a long way. Understanding what's covered, what's not covered, what are the lessons learned from the past attacks attacks that we've seen, and then implementing equal defensive strategies that the adversary is implementing for their attack strategies. I mean, the SolarWinds attack was, you know, pretty complex in the way they planned it. It was all based on deception. So once the backdoor was installed on the system, there was a series of checks that the adversary would go through, that the code would go through, and it would say, do you have tools that detect me? Do you have tools that are monitoring activity here? And then if the answer was no, then it started to go through and execute and do what it was going to do. So, you know, the adversary is doing this. They're planning out their attacks. But on the defense side, I don't think industry does a good job at really planning it out strategically, like adding military defense strategies to their systems. Instead, they apply more tools.
George, so. Yes, more tools, more weapons. But the poetry of using deceptive accounts, I'd have dozens of them. Good heavens, dozens of them, not just one. Georgiana Shea, she is the chief technologist for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.